What? Another episode, Johnny.
Yes, it is.
I have a medium amount of excitement. We're just not going to overdo it. Like you said, we're going to be low-key as we really are.
Medium is the right amount.
I'm just okay with today.
Like a salsa that everyone can palate.
Yeah, well, medium salsa is usually pretty hot.
Is it?
I don't know why they say mild, but...
For a wimp.
Is this a challenge? We're going to go right over there.
Do you like hot food?
I do.
Well,
but I don't... You know what? I liked it more when I was younger. I don't know if it was like just a, I can do this.
Oh, yeah, you want to feel like a man. You know?
But
put hair on your chest.
You ever had hot chicken in Nashville?
I have. I don't get the hot kind, though.
Let me tell you something. I had hot chicken when I first moved here. Somebody was like, hey, we'll get some hot chicken, Prince's hot chicken, you know.
Mm-hmm.
When it was like right next to where I grew up.
Yeah.
I grew up here. It was like a really bad part of town. I was like, I didn't know this is here, but okay. Because most, I'm telling you, native Nashvillians, we don't go eating hot chicken or wearing cowboy boots. And
that's kind of the deal, too, with food that's going to be like authentic and signature to your town. It needs to be in a bad area, doesn't it? Is there something about that?
I don't know.
Does that breed... Like great, like the cuisine comes out of the anguish of the, I don't know, maybe not.
Possibly, I don't know, but I know this, I liked it. I mean, it gets so hot, you're sweating now.
Yeah.
And you really can't taste anything.
Yeah, there's the food.
You're eating to try to get rid of the heat, but you're eating more hot food. See, yeah. We call that counterintuitive.
Yeah.
But you do it anyway.
It's like a chore to get through it.
And I don't mean to be too graphic here, but the issue is not eating it.
Yeah.
But it hurt for days. I'll just put it that way. Like, it stayed with me
okay. In
ways that I don't like. So, is that enough? I mean, can I say that? Okay.
That's enough.
So yes, I like hot foods, but I don't want to pay a price for a week. You know what I'm saying? Then I've lost all the joy that said food might have brought me.
Remember our buddy we used to watch the ball games with, and his dad would make chili, and it was the hottest chili, and we'd be like sweating eating it. It was like a chore to get through it, and you're just like... If I could just have a normal bowl of chili, I'd be so excited right now. I just want to watch this ball game and get through it. Here come the hot wings. You're like, oh, no, here come the hot wings.
I remember he would give me little, like, shots of...
Cayenne and stuff.
Cayenne, yeah. Well, it wasn't for that. He would give it to me, like, almost like as vitamins. Like, look.
Yeah, he took them as...
Take this, and it'll help you.
And he would swear about it. He goes, cayenne energizes everything it touches.
I bet my breath was awful all the time, and I had no idea.
Between that and fish oil, I bet you're just... Here we go.
I'm not on as much of the fish oil right now.
You don't take it?
Well, you have to go all the way to the refrigerator. At that point, I'm ready to go to sleep.
It's in the fridge?
You're supposed to refrigerate fish oil.
Oh, wow.
So funny that you would ask that question because everybody doesn't know that. It's not like clearly marked on, it's not like in huge letters on the bottle. So Pastor Roy the other day, he was like, I'll take fish oil. It's like, oh, so you go get it in the refrigerator. He was like, you're supposed to refrigerate it? And he went and looked it up, and sure enough, like, it rots in there. So he's like, well, that would explain why it tastes so fishy and I burp all this stuff.
Oh, so it keeps it from doing that if you...
Right, it keeps it fresh.
Oh, man,
see,
that's what I
things
mean.
When they're cold, Johnny.
But I'm saying once it gets in your system, though, it's going to be turned to fishiness. That's what I'm saying. I don't want to burp fish all day.
You're literally eating, if it's not refrigerated after a while, you're eating... like putrid fish oil. Like it's not supposed to, it's a biological.
But when you get it in the store, it's not refrigerated.
Well, that's because it's sealed though, I think. Once it's unsealed and exposed to air, I think
like
is the
ketchup,
moment.
Like the bottle of ketchup is supposed to be refrigerated after opening.
It could last forever until you open it, Johnny.
Man.
And isn't that just like our lives? I don't know how.
Our lives last forever until we open them up.
Some of y'all been
closed off, and you've been put on a shelf somewhere.
And say you don't. Which
left
sounds,
alone, it, seemingly.
But you're not being used. We're not
until
tasting.
Until God takes you. He shakes you.
He opens you.
He pours you out.
And then he puts you in a nice, dark, cold
a
place.
French fry of... Wait, that's... I don't know what the French fry is.
Taste and see. Anyway, anytime there was ever a food sermon. So I'm doing John 15 on Sunday.
Yeah.
And
I'll be here for church.
No, you won't be here.
I'll be here,
church.
Bro. You can count on me.
You want to do 5 minutes?
Have I ever let you down? Yeah, 5 minutes. I'll do it. They call it a little window. Hey, you want to come do a little window?
You come do a little window. Oh, I see my friend Johnny's here. I didn't know that was happening. Johnny, come on up here. Why don't you greet the people?
What if you did that with everybody? Because Nashville, there's a lot of musicians. You could do it with everybody. Hey, come on up and...
Growing up in church, that happened a lot, actually. It was kind of like if somebody shows up, well, look, it's brother...
He's like, I couldn't possibly produce his own microphone from his pocket.
He looks in the back and a track starts.
Yeah. He hands over a cassette. No, track two.
He just goes, hey, track two. Like, it's already back there. He knew the whole time. He knew the whole time. No, I'm doing John 15. I saw all that to say that, one, we've kind of been fighting over who gets to do John 15, because we always come in and out of the book of John. We've been in another series called One Another's, which you can go, by the way, to the Messages from the Grove app if you wanted to listen to those, if you wanted to. And so that's right there on, it's on iTunes.
And wherever fine podcasts are located.
And so I get to come out into John 15. I was really excited until I realized, like, it's a way more common. Like, I know John 15 because you're like, oh, yeah, I'm the vine, you're the branches. That's what you said. We were walking in it. I was like, yeah, if that's all it said. But there's a lot of other things in John 15 that are kind of like theological minefields for different people. It's where a lot of the camps divide. The camps divide in John 15 between Calvinism and Arminianism, and, you know, because it's very much the Father. The Father discards the branches that aren't fruitful. And what does that mean? And so anyway, you know, going to the context of it. But one thing I was really studying today is metaphors have limits. Like, that's why Jesus, I'm going to say that, like, even Jesus's metaphors, his truths have no limit, but his metaphors, metaphors have limits. Like, you can only go so far before you'll find a way. I was like, I'm going to say probably, I don't know, I'm working on it. Something like, oh, people use the metaphor, we're like cars, Jonah, you know, and what? We need to come in and get filled up every week. We need to get gas. Could you drive your car forever without gas? No. So you come to church.
You know what? And
every 90,000 miles, you know, I've seen people take the car metaphors so far. You got to have a special. That's a revival, Johnny. Every year we have a revival time.
That's the oil. You get your oil changed.
You get your oil changed and all those things. But eventually it's like, well, if you take it so far, it's like, well, yeah, but I mean, does that mean I leak? You know, like, does it mean that I have
to... I got junk in my trunk, but spiritually?
At some point in time, the car metaphor will be pressed too far.
Yeah. You know?
So that being said, the fish oil metaphor can only go so far. Yeah. It can only go so far. Metaphors may be representing perfect things, but they themselves are not perfect. That's why Jesus would use them back to back. The kingdom of God is like this, and the kingdom of God is like this, and the kingdom of God is like this, because one metaphor is not sufficient for the all-encompassing sufficiency of the kingdom of God. Guys, that's our show.
You did it, John.
You've been great. We wrapped it all up in 7.5 minutes.
Man, but it's going to be too... By the time this comes out, they will already miss the sermon, but they can get it on the app.
Right.
On Monday.
In fact, the day that this releases, they could go and listen to the sermon.
John 15.
John 15.
It's a big one. It does that. If you abide in me and I abide in you, can ask what you will.
That's there's that in there too.
That's a big one for the prosperity people.
Yep. Like, literally everybody's in this one. All the camps.
Well, I know I abide.
I abide.
I'm supposed to have this Tesla.
There you go. Yeah. You've really
not that it's wrong to have a Tesla. In case I get one down the road.
In fact, some of you have a Tesla, maybe should become sponsors of the podcast.
What, Tesla itself should become a sponsor.
Let me tell you something. If Tesla would give us a car, we'll drive it and talk about it on
we'll
the
We'll share it.
That's fine. You can take it on the road, and I'll have it during the
week. I don't know if it'd be good for the road, because what's the mile? You have to, like, pull over and plug it in.
Is a Tesla's pure electric?
Yeah, it's pure electric. But the new ones get, like, 400 miles, I think.
Wow. Wow.
By the way, I apologize.
Isn't that just like our lives, though, Johnny? Sorry.
It's not. But... You need to pull over to Cracker Barrel and
need to get a charge.
Some y'all need to be charged with crimes. I apologized. First of all, we made a bold claim about the Trans Am Firebird.
You apologized to Elon Musk?
The Trans Am being the car from Smoking the Bandit. We were sure it was a Trans Am.
Although one of my favorite moments in the podcast is the moment you said, literally, there was a bird on fire.
That's right. So then I felt dumb because somebody corrected us. So point of order,
dumb every time someone corrects you? I just think we call that life, Johnny. Well, you shouldn't feel dumb. It's just life.
I don't know.
Let's talk about it.
I think...
All right, go ahead. Sorry.
Tell me about your mother. Was it important to her that you're always right? It was. It really was. No, I think... The car was a Trans Am. It was a Firebird Trans Am.
Right. They are one and the same.
Well, it's a model of that.
Correct. It's like
another person came in after that person said, well, it's actually not a Trans Am. It's a Firebird. So no. And they looked at it, and there was a literal whole Wikipedia entry about it. And, like, he copied and pasted it.
Yeah.
And that was our buddy Scott Gillis. And so this is done. I'm not going to feel bad anymore. I knew the movie trivia, and I'm never wrong.
So it was... A Trans Am is not a Firebird.
A Trans Am is a Firebird.
Because, you know, I'm not taking the time to read all the stuff that he posted.
It's a type of, it was a type of Firebird. So maybe it was like, the, I don't know how it works, but it, we were both right, in other words.
Wow.
It was a Trans Am and it was a Firebird. But there are Pontiac Firebirds that were not Trans Am, so I think it might have been like an actual, extra specification.
Yep.
You know.
Yep.
But anyway, all that said, I'm not sorry anymore.
I wonder if anyone, because Trans Am means trans-American, obviously.
If you can just get through your life and
across
your marriage
America.
And your spiritual life without having to apologize, I feel like you win. that's the hallmark of my ministry.
I don't...
Remember that? You ever heard that, that love is never... No, love means never having to say you're sorry? Have you ever heard that before? That
yes.
was like in a movie. And that's the dumbest thing
the
I've
worst.
Ever heard.
Love means you say you're sorry every day. A lot.
Even when you're not sorry.
Right.
You thought I was going to say even when you're not wrong.
Oh, Johnny.
You have to say it, though. You got to put it out there.
Oh, man.
No, I am sorry a lot. And I say I think I say I'm sorry way more than in my early days.
Yeah.
Like, you've been married. I've been married almost 24 years.
Yeah.
So there's... Sometimes you have to, you come to grips with your own humanness, your own humanity.
Yeah.
And your brokenness. That's one of the things marriage does for you, if you're doing it right.
Oh, I totally agree. It's like a mirror, you know, and you, if you're willing to look in it, you know, to say, yeah. Oh, I'm that guy. I come from a logic center first yeah. on things. So right. things get revealed to me. When they happen, they're kind of ahas, you know?
Yeah.
I don't feel my way as much. I do have a lot of feelings and things that arise, but like, it happens to me often that we'll be in some sort of disagreement when I will suddenly realize I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
And that's not, it's actually good, but it's hard. It's hard for her then because I'm like, oh, by the way, I know I just like fought for this for 20 minutes. What were mm-hmm. We had an argument the other morning. We were ordering plane tickets, okay, because yeah. we're going to D.C. next week. And we were ordering plane tickets and trying to figure out how to maximize the amount of time we're going to spend in D.C. because I'm there on a writing trip. Sadie and Laura are going to go with me. I'm going to work some in the mornings, and then we're going to go see everything we
you
can.
You hit the museums, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, 4 days in D.C., full days is not enough, you know, and so much less half days. And so we're trying to maximize. We're going to come home Saturday night. And so trying to maximize all the stuff, and she's on – the app. We're in bed, both on the apps, kind of looking up where the flights are. We can go to Reagan, you can go to Dulles, or you can go to Baltimore. You know, which one's going to work for us to get where we want to be and maximize our time out. And so she begins saying that I find these flights that are the right ones. We get home a little later. They're longer flights because they're connecting, but
Baltimore is the one. You should have talked to me first.
Actually, Reagan. No, actually, we're flying into Reagan, out to Baltimore. Out Baltimore.
Okay,
that's how it works.
I'm just going to say Baltimore's direct both ways. And
yeah,
probably
yeah, yeah,
cheaper.
And it, but it's later. That was the whole deal.
Oh, right.
It was later.
See. Yeah.
So Baltimore had the latest flight coming back. So we'll fly, I think, fly into Reagan and fly home from. So I did 2 1 ways. So what it ended up being. We had yeah. one, though, that connected in Chicago. And so, but it had like a 40-minute layover.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, well, we can't do that one because if our flight at all is delayed, you know.
Yeah.
And for me, I'm kind of I was like, you know, it is a flight that they've made.
Right.
Like, humans are getting on those flights every day.
Yeah.
And she's acting like, in my mind, and I realized, by the way, I was on decongestants that morning, and I get really, really kind of, like, I don't realize it. My whole point of the story is
her fear without meaning to.
Well,
her concern is a good concern.
I get really, really technical.
Yeah.
Like, for me, yes, she is summing up something as if it's definite that we're not going to make the flight. That's yeah. how I'm interpreting it. And
that's a pessimistic viewpoint.
And that technicality,
yeah.
like for some reason that particular morning, I decide to dig in my heels
yeah.
on this. And I'm not even sure why.
Like, you know more than the airports now.
Yeah,
made algorithms.
Yes, I'm in a place like people do. Well, and she's like, John, I'm a manager. Like,
right.
I
she
have
travels
to,
a lot more than you.
I have to approve people's travel.
Yeah.
And our company won't approve travel with an under an hour layover because it happens so often that
yeah.
people miss the flight, you know. And so I'm sitting here 20 minutes or so. And by the end of it now, I've made her really upset because I'm just being – I can't say all the words I'm being on the air.
You were being a butthole, John.
I was being kind of ugly.
Yeah.
We'll just put it that way.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, like, I see myself outside of myself. I'm like, oh, man.
Like in Ghost?
Yeah. Like I've
like
risen above.
Swayze.
I can look down on an ugly Patrick Swayze that's me, and I can say, wow, that guy's really not being nice to his wife for no reason except that he got it in his head, didn't have enough coffee or took too much cold medicine last night. And then I want to be immediately like, yeah, hey, you know what? I'm sorry. You're right. But I've built this thing up so far. She doesn't, quote unquote, downshift that fast. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I have to give her a minute and then realize that this is what it takes. She forgives me every time and quickly, usually, but I want it like instantaneous. Like, yo,
I think this is your apology.
No, I apologize then, too. Yeah.
But did you guys make pottery together, like in Ghost? Because that's what I'm seeing. Like a pottery scene.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Well, that's good. I'm
I don't
that way
always
too.
See
Once
it, by
you
the
defend
way.
A position, it's hard to be like, oh, by the way, I was way
That
off.
Position sucked, yeah. Sorry.
I was way off.
Yeah. It happens, though. Husbands and wives, it'd just be better. Like you said, I mean, marriage requires apologies. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Not just apologies. I really think this is a good practice, and it sounds like semantics, but not like ceramics, which is what you were talking about a minute
ago.
No,
that's a different thing.
Right. It sounds just semantical to say it, but I think there is something to it to say, hey, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me?
Yeah.
Because sometimes you're right. You could be sorry, not sorry. I mean, there's a reason that expression is a thing in today's culture. Like,
right.
Oh, I'm going to end this awkwardness between us without actually acknowledging any wrong.
Yeah, or like, I'm sorry you feel that way. That's a big one. Some people apologize that way. Well, look, I'm sorry if you felt like I did something wrong.
It happens all the time. So I try to make a point of saying, hey, I actually am owning that. I may have had points that were right, and there's a chance we could have made the 40-minute flight, sure.
Yeah.
But me going that far with it, really, that was stupid.
One of my favorite Tim Hawkins bits is from he was – in counseling with his wife, and so he talks about it on stage, and he says, because we used to fight, we'd get so heated, and we could never like come down from like how heated we were, get so deeply entrenched in our ideas. We go to the counselor, they help you because they say, start asking questions. Don't get all hung up in your head, like ask questions. It happened to me the other day. We're getting ready for church. She's taking forever. It's getting heated. Finally, I start asking questions. Sweetie, why are you being a psycho right now?
I knew it was coming.
That's so great. It's such a funny misdirect.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
Don't ask that question.
No.
Playing along at home.
Hey, did I tell you I went to the dentist this morning?
So you're a little numb still.
I think I'm starting to feel again. I've only had two cavities my whole life, and I had a tiny stick on the last dental visit. So he's like, it's a tiny little occlusion, and we're going to go ahead and do
occlusion.
Yeah, it's like it's not even a full cavity, but it'll get that way.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, I didn't even know if I'd have to have it, but they did. They numbed me up pretty good. And so, for the whole morning, I was talking to some people at Starbucks, and I could not get – it was in the back, but it kind of, I guess, permeated part of the left side of my lips as well up front.
Oh, right.
And so, I was trying to – I found myself not being able to smile and speak correctly on that side. So, it was very – it's very disorienting.
And when you do, a drool kind of runs out.
I never got to a drooling point.
That's good.
Not any more than usual.
Right.
So just a regular amount. But there was a definite, and he put a big cotton ball in my mouth. You know, he really is. And I know that whole thing's been done a lot in comedy and everything, but I really do wonder how dentists feel about talking to you a lot with your mouth wide open and instruments and cotton balls.
Right, that's when they want to just have a conversation with you.
Because you're talking about the NBA draft tonight, you know, and I have a lot to say about
that. Do you really?
Well,
I didn't know you were interested.
I'm not interested in the NBA very much, but there's three Tennessee players. Yeah.
You're going to watch, right? You got to watch.
Yeah, I mean, Laura's the one. Like, she's been following it daily. She followed the lottery, the combine, all their workouts, all these things. Like, she's... but I'm so.
But he's
loved.
Asking you. You're like,
I was like, I can't say anything.
It's hard to say Admiral Schofield with a hand in your mouth. That's a tough one.
Schofield. And I bit my lip off and started bleeding.
That's
so.
Not good.
Are you going to watch it?
Yeah, for sure. Well, I'm intrigued anyway. You know, I'm an NBA guy, so lifelong Lakers fan. So we've already pulled off the cool trade. We got Anthony Davis.
Right, you got Anthony Davis.
But we traded away a ton of our assets to get him. So now it'll be like, what do we do now? They're trying to clear cap space.
Can you really
space.
Call them assets the kind of season you had, though?
Well, they were young. It's a young core, so they're still – whether or not – we'll see. That's the thing. We traded away two young players that have gone on to be really good for other teams.
Yeah.
So they were mistakes to trade away. So I'm hoping that's not what's going to happen here.
Is that not a development problem, though, on your side? Is there a reason they weren't a good player
for you? It's probably a coaching problem, which is why we fired our coach.
Yeah.
Yeah. The young players just do young, dumb things for a few years.
Yeah.
And LeBron's that player that he's past. He's just ending the – he's at the end of his prime now, so it's like they don't have time to go like, well, let's put a bunch of 20-year-olds around LeBron and see what happens. Like, they need to win now before he turns to dust.
Help me understand sort of the vitriol that exists in L.A. around LeBron.
Like, I don't know what you mean.
I feel like I'd have – again, I'm limited to the amount of exposure to NBA things that – but – I sensed a lot of people kind of disenchanted with him when the season didn't go well.
Oh, right. Well, he missed some games to injury.
And then I thought maybe he was leaving. Like, I heard rumors that they wanted to get rid of him. It wasn't only a one-year contract.
Well, the trade for AD, okay, so for Anthony Davis coming from New Orleans, okay, so they wanted him, and he wanted out of New Orleans. Well, they share an agent. So there was some talk that behind the scenes – LeBron is the one wrangling and putting all these other players on the trading block, so it hurt the chemistry of the team.
Yeah.
Because there were six or seven players in that deal originally before the trading deadline last year. So then the trade didn't go through because Pelicans were like, forget you. We're not going to work with the Lakers. Why would we help you? And so now you have a locker room with seven dudes that know that their head was on the chopping block the day before, and they're like, let's go play ball! And it's just too weird. So there was talk that killed the season as much as the injuries did, but there were so many injuries. And I've never heard anything. I've never heard anybody say anything but LeBron was a great teammate. Even the people who got traded away were like, no, this is all media stuff. Now, I will say this. In L.A., people are very defensive of the history. Like, some of the greatest players to ever play the game have come through L.A. So there were people who were like Kobe fans. There was a mural put up when they got LeBron that said King of L.A., and it had like, because he's King James, they put a crown on his head. He's in this mural of all the Laker greats, and people flipped out that were like, let's pump the brakes. Kobe's the king of L.A. or whatever, because he's got five championships, you know. And I was like, okay, settle down.
LeBron has how many?
He's got three, but I'm saying none as a Laker. So yeah, just to make him.
So, but he's already one of the greats regardless.
100%.
I mean,
it's just that whole thing of people get so wound up in their own defending their player. Like, this is going to make the Lakers better. Let's settle down. But now what I'm hoping will happen is that he'll bounce back from his kind of injury-riddled season last year, and they'll be better, and they'll have more veterans on the team. Because he was passing to, like, people who were missing wide-open threes a lot last year. I watched a lot. I watched, like, 40 of those games.
Wow.
A couple of them in person. And we looked bad. Like, LeBron draws two people, three people, kicks it, and instead of it being, Kyrie Irving, who can hit a three, it's just some guy named Joe who bricks the three. And then LeBron gets tired of it. And, yeah, there was some bad body language last year.
I appreciate you not calling the guy John. Yeah. That meant a lot. If you had to pick a random schmo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll call him JD. I'll protect his anonymity.
How do you feel? Why do you think the nickname King James? I mean, what a very religious thing. Don't you think there's some oddities about why we picked that out? Like, it's not like the sports world is all up in arms about biblical translations.
I don't know.
Like, couldn't we?
Somebody that comes along later, he's the NIV.
Yo, I'm the New Living Translation. Yeah, I just, I don't know. I think that's an interesting. People don't like King James.
Yeah.
People don't like the. You know what I'm saying? I'm stereotyping. Imagine
somebody's like a flashier version of LeBron, but the old people don't like him, and they're like, he's the message. We call him the message. we're not sure if he's actually following the rules. Even he travels a lot.
Yeah, it's just I don't know. It's just interesting. Like it just worked out with the words that you wanted to hear.
To me, for him to be as like people talk about how he's a little bit of a narcissist, and in the social media, he's interesting. I remember he's put a couple posts out where he kind of pats himself on the back when he reaches an accomplishment, even if the team is like a dumpster fire at the time.
Yeah.
And people didn't like that, and I didn't like it. But at the same time, when I think about how normal he is compared to what ringer he's been through of fame,
right?
You know, like he was called the Chosen One when he was 15 years old.
Yeah.
ESPN was broadcasting his high school games.
It's actually one of the very few things
it was breaking records. People were watching it. And it was unbelievable. And then all this, I mean, it's been nothing but haters, and there's been a lot of haters. There's been a lot of love. But whenever you're that beloved, you're going to have so much more hate on the other side. It's like, what's this guy getting so much love for?
Yeah.
So they got to take you down a peg. for him to still be like married, you never hear about him like hanging out in the bars and with five different women. Like, he doesn't do that. He's a family man, so far as I know. He gives all this money to charity. He has a foundation. We've talked about that before on the podcast, the I Promise School. He's really lived up to the hype in a lot of ways. And he's never really lost a finals that he was favored in. That's the other thing people forget. They go, well, he's lost so many finals. He's never lost a finals he was favored in, though. He was never favored in those ones he lost. He was on teams that were not as good as the Warriors or whatever. So I don't know. To me, LeBron is I'm glad to have him on my team. But I do think that his skills are fading. And I'm hoping that – well, they think that's what Anthony Davis will be. I mean, Anthony Davis is 27. So it's like he's your guy of the future. Yeah. So he'll help LeBron kind of fade into – a nice role like Dwayne Wade did.
I don't know if LeBron.
You think he'll age gracefully?
I do. I feel like he's. I feel like he,
part, he's a team player anyway. He's a team first.
Part of what makes him different is he seems like he has almost a superhuman makeup. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He's not. He's physically imposing, but he's not Shaq physically imposing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, like his, like you said, his pre-workouts before the game are the worst workout of my life, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So. Interesting you called him your team. I'm glad to have him on my team.
Well, he's on my team. He's on the Lakers. I've been a lifelong Lakers fan. So,
yeah, so you own that.
I'm not saying I own people, John. Let's not go there. Although that did come up a couple weeks ago. They were talking about this whole thing of like, is team owner a racist term? And people got all sensitive about it. And it's an interesting conversation to have, but I just think
that's what that means. You own the league.
You own the team, and you own the players. But I mean, a lot of people.
It's a company.
There are people who take issue with draft night. You're looking at people's statistics. It's like, I mean, there are ties to. I mean, this idea that it draws a type and shadow of what the slave trade used to be, of like this whole, like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I understand that there are people who could draw lines there and say, this is uncomfortable to me.
I think there are certainly things to look at in American sports culture, and we're not the first ones to say that, with how the rules of racism are dichotomized subconsciously in people's minds to where they treat and cheer for someone of a different race because it helps their team.
Yeah.
And if they run into that person in the grocery store, not knowing who they are,
right,
that there's a completely different reaction.
Yeah, yeah.
That here they're a hero and here they're a threat. So like the stereotypes of it, based upon how it benefits you. It's fascinating. Actually, I was reading Dallas Willard, Divine Conspiracy, and he talks about, in fact, I'm just going to read you a paragraph. He talks about sports a little bit and what it's done in modern culture. This is 1997 when he wrote this. So, cuteness like cleverness, because we were talking about that, the whole absurdity of life that we've made as a default that we're not really understanding. So the only thing left to do is to be clever or cute.
Right.
Because if you feel like it's all kind of meaningless. Cuteness like cleverness has certain aesthetic possibilities, as do sex and violence, but they are very limited. Picasso is the most familiar and brilliant illustration of how it can be well used and of how it goes to seed, meaning it produces more inside of you. But as we now know, masses of people can be cute and clever as well who have no ability or sense of art at all.
Yeah.
As creators and consumers, they fill the field of pop culture today, which is an economic enterprise and only by accident occasionally has something to do with art. Art objects are now commonly referred to as, quote, product by those who handle them and only make news when they are sold for absurdly large sums or are stolen. Art is lost in pop art as sport is lost in professional, quote, sport, which is an oxymoron of the strongest kind. Absurdity reigns and confusion makes it look good. So he's saying, by definition of the word sport, to call something a professional sport is an oxymoron. It's such an interesting thing.
Right. It's become, a game.
Yeah. It's now become, though, life. Like, it's a reflection of life. We don't know the dividing lines between understanding what entertainment is. And to your point, I think you're right, whether or not the ownership of a team is a racial thing or not. And I think that, you know, there's a day in my life I'd have said, oh, you know, that's semantical. But I think we have to be sensitive to the way that we...
Right.
Like, I don't get a right to tell somebody else how that feels in their culture, their history, and where they're from. The more that I read, I realize it would do good for me to probably listen, you know, and not act like I know everything about it.
To me, more so, NFL would feel like that because the contracts aren't guaranteed. They can throw you away when you're injured.
Oh, yeah.
So they can say, hey, you have this much value, and you signed this big deal. Hey, you have a $57 million contract. Now the fans are like, well, he better produce. Now we feel this sense of ownership for money we didn't spend. That's the other thing that I always find interesting.
Yeah.
When somebody gets a contract, you're like, they gave him all that money, and he couldn't shoot better than this. It's like, it's not your money.
Well, when you are buying tickets, or you're paying for your cable membership, or your package.
That's the thing, though. What are our rights as a fan?
If you truly had investment, it would be very small.
But the NFL, like, you get a knee injury, they're like, oh, we cut you to save money, and they're done with you. Where the NBA, they're still guaranteed contracts. So,
well, I think that the counter argument to that always for everybody, and this is what we do in American culture. This lets you know what really matters to us. And even in some of the small amounts of sports related stories that I've written on, this comes up a lot. And that is that once the term millions of dollars is thrown into any scenario, people feel that you're in another universe in which we have every right to criticize or to look at you through, you know, look at you in a fishbowl or to dismiss even your value. You're right in that. We do in some ways.
It's not, you don't even have a right to have problems.
Exactly.
Because you could just buy your way out of any problem. How could you have problems?
Well, it's vicarious living. What we're saying is I can't be out there on that field. I have to work in my regular job.
Yeah.
So what you're going to do for me on Sunday afternoon is you're going to provide this fantasy way of escape for me where I'm going to cheer for this team, feel a part of my team, my community, whatever. It's going to accomplish something completely absurd that has no bearing on anything. Like, it has no bearing on the world, no bearing on anything. It doesn't, besides charitable contributions that arise from people making the millions of dollars, it literally doesn't matter to anything that's going to happen in the world outside of the people who are involved in it. And so it has good. I'm not calling it all bad, but I'm just saying it is a sport. And but now you disappoint my fantasy that I feel I've owned. And the reason I get the right to be disappointed in a complete stranger who's sacrificing his body is because he got paid millions of. It's like gladiators, basically.
Yeah.
You got paid millions of dollars. Whatever happens to you, happens to you. So shut up and don't complain about it. Even if you blow your knee out or have a traumatic brain injury or all those things, like, you knew what you're getting into, and we paid you. We paid you off the field that way. And I do it. Like, I'm a huge football fan and all those things. I think I'm trying to come to the place where I'm going, how much do I feel like I really own this, or how much am I escaping to it beyond a healthy, you know, place? And not to overlook or to, you know, not to, I understand. Can we just not watch football and enjoy it? Yes, I will. And it's fine. I'm not trying to.
Otherwise, I just have these chips and dip for nothing. I'm just staring into the void while I eat pigs in a blanket. If you put something on the background, it feels less like self-destruction.
Well, it really is for me about the camaraderie with you and others, even if you're in California, we're texting about the game.
Yeah.
And then my friends who are opposed to Tennessee athletics or whatever, we're texting and having banter and fun, you know. And like, for basketball season this year, it was great. I liked these guys. That's why I like college.
I know.
They're not professionals.
Yeah.
I like that they're just out
there
playing.
But they can't wait to be professionals. That's why I don't like that argument. They're like, these guys play for the love of the game. It's like, first of all, they're probably all getting paid. Second of all.
they're getting paid at Louisville, but not at Tennessee.
Come on, John.
I told you how bad. They're all three stars. No, ain't nobody paying them.
Well, not in the beginning. But
No, I don't know. I think there's a purity to it, but I mean, I do think you have to look at what is it about sport that we're really all up in arms about, because it's something. What is it about, whether it's whatever it is? And I think those things are.
Well, you want bragging rights for your team when they do well. That's the thing you're imagining, is like, I can't wait to, you know, whatever, talk about this the next day or share this with somebody if you're in the moment with them. You know, I went to a couple of games this year, and it was cool to experience with friends. Like, it was a cool thing.
Yeah, there you go.
One game, the Lakers came back from 19 down. It was unbelievable. And I was there. I was, like, right behind the bench.
See, and some of that's for NBA for me. The games are too long. They really are so long.
They're only 8 minutes longer than a college game, John.
You have time to come back from 19 points down. You know what I'm saying?
Part of it's the three-point shots. That's all it is now. It's threes and dunks.
Yeah,
in the pro game, and that's college is headed there.
But threes are impressive to me. Like, that's the hard. Yeah. That's a hard thing to do from that distance. You know, I mean, I like that. I do like the NBA better because
they've talked about moving the NBA three back even further, but they can't do it because the corner three is already shorter.
Yeah, you're going to be out of bounds. Yeah, trying to shoot the ball.
These guys' feet are too long. They're already almost stepping out of bounds.
Yeah,
I think they just need to bring in a 4-point shot. Put it near the logo.
Yeah.
And that's a 4-point shot.
It would alter the end of a game often.
Wouldn't it be awesome?
Yeah. Well, if you get fouled on a 4-point shot, then it could be a 5-point play. Wow. I think it's too much.
You know what I'd love to see for reals? The 1-1. I want to see the 1-1 in pros. These people would shoot better free throws if you had a 1-1. A bonus than a double bonus.
They don't have a bonus.
No, there's no single bonus.
It just goes straight to two shots.
It's either ball out, sideline, or it's two shots.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, it has been forever.
Well, games are lasting so long because often you miss the front side of a 1-1.
TV timeouts, too. College games last a long time, too, because of these TV contracts are insane.
Yeah.
And so that's like every time something happens, they're like, now a word from whatever, Metamucil. I was trying to think of a product.
That's a huge NBA sponsor.
It's true.
Metamucil.
They could be.
Keeping you regular on your court. Life. I don't know. I'm trying to think of all the really gross. I feel like
shoot a two. No, it's not right.
I feel like, or a three. Wait. I feel like some of these, like the Charmin commercials with the bears, is too much. It's too graphic.
Talking about cleaning their honeys and such.
I don't want to look at a bear's butt. You know what I'm saying?
Well, and the one bear's pulling on his underwear. It's like the other bear are naked then in that commercial, right?
Right.
Because the two bears are like, I don't want to pick up the underwear. And then the kid comes in. He's like, they're clean because my hiney's clean. And then he puts on the underwear. And then the two bears, the mother and father bear, are just standing there basically naked.
It's true. If you're going to create this universe.
You're making me feel weird about naked bears now.
There's rules in that universe you created. And you're right. Johnny, I haven't thought about that.
It's
love that.
Donald Duck wearing just a shirt. Dude, what kind of weird. Absolutely. If you're going to wear just a shirt. Wear pants, too.
Yeah. Doesn't Mickey wear just the pants with the suspenders or something?
But maybe they only had money for one outfit. They share an outfit. I don't know what's going on. Winnie the Pooh, same thing. It's just like, man.
Yeah. What's the deal? I guess because they want to show the tail. That's why, because that's a cute part animated-wise.
Well, in Pooh, it's the belly. The big belly on Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah. I don't know. I have a problem. I mean, my question about the toilet paper is this. Are people out there having that much trouble with toilet paper? Like, is it like really a problem we need to address?
I guess.
With advertising? Like, you know what? People are just not getting clean. It's the scourge of our time.
It's the type of toilet paper that's not getting it for you.
I just can't.
Use Angel Soft? Filthy animal.
Right. I can't fathom this being a true problem that we need to address with that level of graphic.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, man.
If you had boys, I bet you would. Like, if you had teenage boys right now and you had to do their laundry, you'd be like, hey, Charmin, I'm with you. I get this issue.
I feel like as a father to boys, what I would say is, hey, this is where responsibility begins. You know what I'm saying?
You would give them a lecture about proper care?
Like, you're not animals.
Right.
Like, you're,
and even if you are, these bears are doing a better job.
You can accomplish this task. Like, it's your job to accomplish this task. I mean, I feel like we're right on the edge here. It's your job. Like, guys, do your job well. And don't just cry out for better toilet paper. Do your job, guys. Yeah. Like, this is where society is collapsing, Johnny. If we can't be held responsible for the things that happen in our own bathrooms without someone handing us some quadruple-ply toilet paper or else we're all lost. Like, what's happening?
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry. This is when I just shout into the darkness. Like, this is, I'm calling it out.
Yeah.
This is the beginning of the end for us. Like, guys.
Yeah, you know, Bob Smiley, my buddy, he steals the extra roll of toilet paper from the hotels. Well, he says it's not stealing because it's there for you. But it's there if you need it. But he just throws it into his duffel bag every time. So he's not bought toilet paper in like 10 years.
Wow. But that's the worst kind of toilet paper. He's proving
like
a point, though.
Single ply. Yeah.
He's proving a point.
Yeah.
Man,
you just double it up.
Man can get by. We're in South America. My gosh.
Yeah.
You know, you just got to find a way, guys, out there. Listen, wherever you are in life.
Find a way.
Find a way, man. Be responsible. I don't know.
It's a weird way to, we're winding it down. It's a weird way to wind it down.
It got weird.
It did.
It got a little bit weird. So are you headed somewhere?
I'm home for a bit.
You are home for a bit.
So I'm home for Sunday?
Yeah, that's right.
Boom.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here. I'm going to wrestling tomorrow night.
Oh.
Local wrestling.
On purpose?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You should go with. Local. You never been? Gladeville? Gladeville Community Center?
So when you say wrestling.
It's independent.
Okay, is this like.
It's dudes making 20, 30 bucks a match.
But this is the entertainment wrestling, not like MMA wrestling.
It's pro wrestling.
Okay, right. see previous comments about pro and sport and all those things. So, but this is.
Oh, it's funny. It's fun, though. Yeah. You go. I mean, I'm not saying you go ironically. Like,
you
I'm
want
above
me and
it.
You to be a wrestling duo, don't you?
Dude, could we?
What would we call ourselves? I feel like.
I don't know what my. I think I would grow a mullet immediately.
Oh yeah.
Because I mean, that's the thing. You got, if you're going with Southern wrestling, one of us has to have a mullet. I'm the flashy.
And they always grab you by the hair.
Right. And that whipping that hair gives you a little bit more to look at in the ring. Yeah. And so when you come off the top rope, you see that hair flow. It's like, that guy, it looks like you're more active than you really are.
You could be like Taco Libre. You know what I'm saying? It's a
little
derivative.
Twist on it.
Just a little.
And I can wear a mask. But the mullet comes out the bottom of the mask.
Bigger than a nacho. But not, you know.
Like Chalupa Libre.
What does Libre mean in Spanish? Doesn't it mean book? I need to go.
Is a Libre a book?
Is a Libre. Oh, wow.
Nacho
really,
book?
What is Libre?
That's what they'll say at the library.
In Spanish. Yeah, if it's nacho.
It's nacho book. No.
It means free. Why did I miss that? Liberty. Free.
Yeah, free. Libre.
Okay.
Didn't you take Spanish, John?
I did.
For many, many years?
Many, many years.
What is library? I think that's like a.
Wow, I'm going to be so.
Library's like a. It's
biblioteca.
A biblioteca.
Where did I get Libre and book? Mm-mm. Oh, my gosh. And I knew that, by the way. I didn't look it up. I just knew it. Biblio Libre. I don't know.
You're so ignorant.
I am. Guys, I have not enriched anyone's life today with anything.
Or ever.
Yeah, that's true.
But we're here. We have a podcast.
We do. We just talked for 41 minutes.
That's enough.
So, and guys, we want you to let us talk to you again next time for 41 minutes. And the only way that's going to happen is if you share with your friends and you let them know these guys are talking about stuff. Some might
say important stuff.
That. And so whatever that is for you, this is what we're going to talk about. And you can share things you want us to talk about.
This sounds like Mr. Rogers. We'll have things you'll want to talk about.
It all matters. So, but no, seriously.
Express your freedom or Libre.
Libre or book.
And subscribe and review us and all that good stuff.
Yeah, it is a lot of fun. We enjoy doing it. And we're going to be continuing. We were actually looking at the guests for the fall right now.
Yeah.
So, you know, we had some guests in the spring, and so we're looking at some guests from the fall. We're kind of in our summertime right now, Johnny. Mm-hmm. This is the summertime of the podcast.
Mm-hmm. It's like sweeps week. This is when you do the controversial stuff.
Right. This is when we handle
get
things
ratings.
Like toilet paper. The toilet paper, the issue in a society today.
Yes.
How sport plays into our need for community and ownership and all these things. Guys, we're doing it. So, hey, send us things you want to talk about for real, though, and we do enjoy it and appreciate you guys being a part of what we do here on
Talk About That.
Has fear stolen your peace? I'm Jennifer Slattery, lead host of the Faith Over Fear podcast, helping you fight your fears and grow your faith. Subscribe at lifeaudio.com.